to come in.
Toads my goats.
Deer.
I wanted to come in early. I'm coming in. No, I'm gonna come in early. Hunter, you look fantastic in salmon.
You like this? I don't think this is salmon, dude. This is angelic pink. This is angelic pink.
It's salmon. It's a salmon. It's salmon color, mate.
Brian, would you mind going as a reference point and Googling salmon color as a color tone? So we bring this up on the screen because you're Australian. Not only are you an idiot, but you're also colorblind because you live south of the fucking equator.
You want the color tone wheel? Official, it's like salmon.
Yes, please. I think we need references. I think everyone in the world needs a reference because this is angelic pink.
Tell George Eaton that it's a
this is
salmon.
Cupid pink.
It's a salmon. It's a salmon color. It's not pink, mate. I think I need to be 247 represent.
You are 247 represent. I gave you some swag last time.
I know. I can't wait. That's the only reason why I'm going to Stockholm, to just get some more.
So tell me a little bit about your life, man. Like, what have you been up to since we last talked? Because we had like a little a buff bash where we raced against each other in Birmingham, and then you did the big Chicago.
Yeah. So that was good. Like, from my end, I enjoyed Chicago, actually. I raced well. I wasn't overly happy, but wasn't overly concerned either.
What was your result?
Came sixth. So just behind Rich Ryan.
And you placed eighth at Worlds, right?
Mate, since then, which was like, correct. Yeah. Since then, and it'll be interesting to take your opinion on this, but I've been more so managing my body to be able to get up for this week coming. It's, you know, I've trained pretty well, but I wanted to make sure that I didn't do too much the last 3 weeks before Stockholm in 5 days. So yeah, I'm going well, thanks, Hunter.
I just want to make sure you're emotionally stable, because sometimes people get really – they have these peaks and valleys. They compete, and then they get real emotional afterwards, and I want to make sure you're okay.
I'm going very well. I'm actually – if I had to describe myself right now, it'd be, like, excited. I'm excited.
You're exuberant.
Yeah, I'm excited. And a few things. I'll be honest with you. I'm excited to race against you on the weekend.
Really?
Yeah, really?
I wouldn't be if I were you, but you know, that's just my 2 cents. Before go ahead,
okay,
I was gonna ask
hang on, breaking news here.
Lock this in.
Okay.
Official salmon color, it's none of them actually. The official salmon color code is FA8072.
Can we get can you pull it up on the screen? Wait, I need to see
it. Yeah. The picture that you're wearing is ECC6D0. So
is it referred to as angelic pink, Cupid pink?
I mean, angelic. Obviously.
Bro.
Chess brain.
Come on. I'm ahead. Dude, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Chair.
Get it up, Rhino.
I need to be right about this so I can walk away feeling good. Yeah, it's not even close.
That's your official salmon color.
Dude, that's not even close.
Mate, have you seen Tasmanian salmon? Tasmanian salmon is not that color.
Is that a real thing, Tasmanian salmon?
That's the thing, man. It's the best salmon around.
Is it really, really?
I don't think you can get it in where do you live? The Maldives? No, dude, Malibu.
People in Malibu can get whatever they want, okay?
There's the official pink color wheel. You're wearing.
Getting close. I need to get some reference points here.
Yeah, grab it, enhance it.
Jam zone. Okay, now go over a little bit. I need to see what's going on the right. Okay, that one right there, that top right middle.
Top middle, yeah.
Yeah, that's it right there. What is that called? What is the reference?
Ultra.
Ultra?
No. One down. What's that one?
Oh,
It's called the cute American salmon.
Yeah, lavender.
Lavender.
No way. I tell people, literally, we did an interview one time. They're like, three words to describe you, and lavender was one of the words I used to describe me. I embody lavender. Dude,
that's a hue of pink.
At what time of the race did it come off on Saturday? The lavender.
I took it off by the time we got to the skier. I'm just not going to race with a shirt. It's not like I train in this stuff a lot, but when you're racing, like, I don't even want like 1 degree more than what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't want it at all.
Oh, sorry. But you have to start the race on the weekend with the Elite 15 shirt on.
For what? Like 5 feet?
No, it's the rule.
But how far do you have to go?
No, you have to play by the rules, Hunter.
I know, but how far do you have to go in it before you ditch it?
I'm not sure, but you just have to play by the rules this weekend.
The fact
man.
That you don't even know, this is what happened last year during the Elite 15
no one
breakdown.
Knows.
They,
Jesus, we got ducks.
Dude, what are you talking about? So basically, during the Elite 15 breakdown last year, they're like, you got to wear this shitty outfit. And I was like, no. I didn't work. I would literally get to the point, and me saying this is probably going to find a way to negate it. If they told me I needed to race in it, I would go on to win the race and I would take the shirt off. And even if they penalized me all the money or even the world title, I wouldn't give a damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you run in circles without a shirt on. That's the way your boy's rolling.
Hey, can I ask you something before I want to ask you about the weekend, obviously, but since we spoke, I actually got a sweat test kit sent to me.
Yeah.
And I got like my data back from it. And it's really interesting. And I don't know if you've done like a proper sweat test. And this is like an at-home kit, right? So, I mean, I don't know if there's any better way to do it, but it was pretty much a kit where I put on a little patch, calculate the sweat, send it back to them, and then they're going back to the lab to see what I'm actually losing, right? So I did like a 45-minute like Hyrox specific session, and I lost 2,500 milligrams
of sodium.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. That's what people don't get.
Hey?
That's what people don't get. Like, your body is holding, you know, probably anywhere between like 5 and like, you know, depending on the size of you, like 5 to 8,000 milligrams of sodium at any given time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's give or take. And some studies may show differently. But the reality is like once that imbalance gets out of whack, like you're in trouble. And you're not going to take in much more than 1,000 milligrams of sodium an hour. Sometimes you can do more than that, like in acute periods of time. Like, let's just say all of a sudden you went from taking a product that was like ours, it's like 600 milligrams of sodium every hour during an Ironman, and then at a certain point you hit something that's like a double that, like an Element, which is upwards of 1500.
Yeah.
If you kept on doing our product for a while, eventually, if you're not taking in other things to support it, you dip under the point where it's sustainable and you put yourself in trouble. If you kept on taking Element for the entire time, you kept on every single hour taking in 1500, you may end up getting sick from the amount of sodium that's going on in your body. So it ends up becoming this game of
replenish.
Yeah. It becomes this game of just finding out how to balance yourself. I got most of my numbers from when I used to take Salt Stick all the time. I know the founder of it, and he just put so much work into it. He was an Ironman athlete. He knew everything. And I was like, these are the numbers. And I would test all these different products. And I was like, this is the balanced number to take all the time. And I never ran into any issues, but there's no doing a Hyrox. You're not going to really need to be taking in electrolytes as you go. But if you show up before the race and you don't have the right amount of electrolytes in your system, you're already starting out at a deficit.
Yeah, but like just an example, they've kind of come back to me and said that I'm in the top like 10% of sweaters out there or like people that lose a lot, right? Yep. So they're pretty much saying that I should be on this level 4, like significant level. And what that is trying to replace 2.5 milligrams per hour. And that is salt loss equals 6.4 grams per hour. So what my question is to you, Hunter, is that like during the, as you, well, you kind of just already like answered it, but during the race or during a high intensity session like that, you don't think it's important. It's actually more so to make sure that I'm topped up at the start of that session or at the start of that race.
Yeah. Like you'll watch, like getting into Olympic triathlons, like the difference where it's double the distance of sprint, you'll notice nutrition starts to become a really key factor for these people. And when you get into things like Ironmans, where it's four times the size of an Olympic distance triathlon, it starts to become a very serious conversation. So sprint distance, which is one-to-one with ours, these guys are finishing around an hour. It's not as much. And I've started to do the studying on it. And it's like, you just can't consume that many calories and your heart rate's at a certain level where it just would be ineffective to try to make it a pillar of your success. So I'll be honest, like I'm testing it out all the time right now to see if I can get better results. And I would give you guys the info if I found it. But right now, like there's a reason why I have supplements inside of a water bottle and I'm taking it starting out the day because you're sweating at night. Like dude, for some reason last night I was sweating a bunch. Like you have to immediately wake up in the morning and start your stuff off. So you're having like 1.5 scoops of our product to start the day.
Yeah.
Because you're losing it at nighttime, especially over 8 hours of sleep. Especially then all after, of a sudden.
Especially after a few red wines on a Saturday night as well.
Bad boy sangria.
Bad boy sangria. Whoa, whoa. Hey,
if you guys are sweating that much, why does High Rocks not allow you to have your own type of go-to drink?
Dude, that's what I've been saying for such a long time. On
your own table, like have your own stuff because they only have water and Powerlift and none of those equal like the amount of sweat replenishment that you would need.
Powerlift is the bee's knees though.
Yeah. I think the thing that I would say is I've been saying this to High Rocks is they need to start giving us like our own table. The Elite 15 needs, every athlete needs to have their own table. And should be able to have like an advisor there who's giving you laps and information and stuff like that. It would create no infrastructural cost to them whatsoever.
No.
And it would allow us to perform at a higher level and probably give, you know, brands that really want to be seen if their water bottles are on the table and their gels and everything like that, like a really highlighted conversational talking point. But, you know, we'll never see it. Noel Radigan.
Here he is, my boy.
Oh yeah, man. This is stressful.
Did you take anything during the race on the weekend?
Just tons of beta alanine. Beforehand. I met with one of your athletes. He's like, I'm a James Kelly athlete.
Who's that? Like,
I can't remember his name, dude. But
you're so bad, man.
Well, how old actually, am I? Supposed to remember these people's
it
names.
It would have been could have been Noel. Was it Noel?
Nah. But I told him, I was like, are you taking any like products before this stuff? He was like, it was hard. I was like, you should probably take like beta alanine. Even if you don't take our product, you should probably take it. Yeah. And I was like, you didn't even take beta alanine until up recently.
Nah, I'm going in. Well, not right now, but I'm just learning from you like day in, day out, Hunter.
Dude, I tell people also, dude, if you take our citrulline product, dude, you'll have boners the size of this Nalgene bottle.
What?
Yeah, dude, you never got that? Hold on, my mom's calling. Damn it. I was really excited. I've lost my mom.
Is true? William James, in Germany, they have Red Bull mixed in the water. Is he just BSing?
Who's that?
This William James in the comments. In Germany, they have Red Bull mixed in with the water.
No, they definitely don't. It's Red Bull and water. It's Red Bull and water. There's a station. Sometimes you grab at the wrong time and it makes you sick. I've been there. I've been there for sure. So I wanted to get some – hold on, guys. I'm going to mute myself so you don't have to hear this shit with my mom. I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to ruin the show, but my mom is lost in London and I have to call her. If she doesn't answer, then we'll –
You're not muted. Oh, there you go. You sound like
you're from London. How's your training going, Ryan?
Good. I got a question for you. Do you ever watch Mr. G in Summer Heights High?
No, I don't. Oh, well, sorry. I have before, but has been Chris, a while. Why? Like, do you watch him?
I really like Chris Lilly as an actor.
He's funny.
But because you sound like every character in that TV show. So I just I wanted to ask you.
He's pretty talented to be able to do that. Hey.
Yeah. He's got so many characters.
So where are you, Ron? Are you back home?
Yeah, I'm back in Indiana. Dude, it's 6:15 a.m.
I can tell, man. You need a coffee or something.
For a guy named A, you want to take at least 3.2 milligrams. That's the base level of beta-alanine. And athletes that are larger and producing more volume are doing about 6 to 7 grams. So that's why our product has 3.2 milligrams and 200 milligrams of caffeine. And for me, as a larger athlete, I'm taking 2 scoops. In the beginning of it, you're going to want to take split it up. So you can start the morning out with 2 grams and then do 2 grams in the afternoon. If you're taking our product, just take 3 grams up front. And then if you really want to push yourself, you're going to get to the point where you're taking, 6,000 plus milligrams a day. And you got to figure what ends up happening with your body is you're metabolizing this stuff as you exercise. The same way your body metabolizes sugar, metabolizes fat, anything that's going through your system is being metabolized. And if you don't keep the stores up, then the effect of it is no longer as beneficial. And especially that's why you want to take it before workouts to make sure that it's topped off. And you have to take it a certain amount of time beforehand or have less effect.
It takes a few weeks to actually start working, though, doesn't it?
It loads inside of your muscle bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like when you hear the term carb loading, like things load inside your body over time. Creatine as well. Power lift, you could drink it or you could pour it in the streets. It doesn't matter when you take it. Are you sponsored by Powerlift now?
No. It was a joke before.
Powerlift supported Battle Bunker, so I'm grateful to them. They are not really a direct competitor. I think ready to consume beverages are not considered direct competitor to what we're doing, so I don't mind. Like, I'll drink a Powerlift. It's a good tasting, cool beverage. Do I think our product's better? Yes, 110%. Or I'd be making Powerlift if I thought otherwise.
Yeah.
To tell me, so I really want to hear about your first, truly scheduled professional experience in this sport. So you showed up at your first ever, you achieved the goal. You qualified for the Elite 15. You went to Chicago. You had to compete. And did you feel like a higher level, compelling level of anxiety for needing to perform because now you were at a certain level? Was it harder to show up there and compete than it was at Worlds? What were some of the things that happened with you out there? I watched
produced YouTube series very well.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to your connection. I guess, I don't know, to answer that question, man, I think a lot of people in this sport, this industry, this Hyrox, hybrid racing sport, think that the Elite 15 is these 15 athletes that are just diehard professional athletes that are just mentally just so gritty and powerful. The one thing that I learned, and it's no disrespect to any of the 15 that were there in Chicago, right? But we are honestly everyday people, apart from, and I'll be honest with you, apart from yourself, who has probably been a professional athlete for quite some time, most of us are just faster than the average Hyrox are, trying to do our best. And what I'm getting at here is that, I'm confident with my ability to rock up on any day of the week and perform at a level that will allow me to perform well in a race format against anyone. And that's what happened. Yes, sure, I can't really kind of applaud myself. I came sixth. I didn't podium, right? But the people behind me, mate, they've done 56 minute Hyrox. They've done 57 minute Hyrox times. I've done a 58:30. Why did I beat them? I'm a better racer. Or I was able to, on the day, fucking perform because I don't get nervous or anything. I kind of love the idea of racing more than anything. So I guess a lot of people kind of have this whole negativity about traveling. And I understand that a lot of the boys that did travel, like, feel as if that was a negative impact, obviously, but I don't think it's a thing, man. Like, if you're meant to be an elite athlete, don't make it a thing either. You know?
Oh, dude, I was in bed by 12:20 and up at 4:20 for Saturday.
Like, you just have to do what, like, you just got to get done, or I don't know.
And I just want you guys to know how a professional athlete lives. This is my mattress on the ground in George's house.
And yeah, Georgie's, are you?
Yeah, George and I have the best slumber parties ever. No girls allowed. No girls allowed. Action movies all the time.
All the time.
We go down to the little bodega down the street, get Jack Potatoes, watch Braveheart, Lethal Weapon, top level movies. And
what's a jacked potato?
I mean, I feel like it's not from Pakistan, but like this whole neighborhood is kind of like very much a Pakistani neighborhood. Like it's just like kind of a little subsect of the city. And these guys take potatoes, they cut it up, and they put either like chicken or cheese and stuff in there. Fuck, this bait alien is cooking my face up. And you just gnaw down on them. They're only like 4 pounds. It is awesome. It's so cheap over here. And if I like go one block away, it's like $75 for something else.
Right. What part of London is it?
It's called Shadwell.
Shadwell.
Most people would.
Shadwell, motherfucker!
There he
is. Most people would say that this is not the nicest part of town, but they just don't understand the culture over here because it's pretty VIP. I'm going to take my head.
Jojo, how are you, mate? Sorry I didn't call you back.
Oh, shoot.
Here he goes.
Hey, Georgie.
What's that? Wait.
That's the Pennywise, Georgie. It's a baked potato Ryan, with the skin on. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ryan, do you know what a bottle-o is?
A bottle-o?
Bottle-o, yeah.
No, like bottle of Jack?
You've never heard of a bottle-o before?
Uh-uh.
It's what we call in Australia a alcohol shop. So it's a bottle shop, but we call it a bottle-o.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you call that?
We call it a liquor store.
Liquor store, yeah. That's boring.
You guys hitting the bottle-o. He's still on mute.
George. Can't hear ya, Hunter. Hunkle hoo-hoo. Oh.
He's got to go into the settings. He always struggles with after he pulls out the cord, then going at back least, and reset the mate, settings.
To be honest, he'd be lost without you.
Me and Alex.
Yeah, he'd be lost without you. So what's next for you? You doing another High Rocks in Miami?
I think Alex and I are going to do High Rocks DC.
Such a hood rat. There piece you of go. Shit. So I went to a – sorry, George, this is all ruined. I went to a freaking like one of those headphone shops inside of the airport, and it said it's like Apple certified dealership. It was lies. These are all like off of a boat from China. And
but I bet you paid the Apple
100% I paid the Apple price. Services. But now if I plug it in and out of the computer, like freaks out Apple, and Apple's definitely catching on because my phone flips out at me all the time now, and so does my computer.
What do you spend the most of your money on, Hunter? Like
probably like, Ryan keeps track of all of our bills, but let's just be real. Like I'll be straight up with people. I sat down with a couple of the business people that are all associated in building up High Rocks now. Other brands are getting invested. They're like, you must be making a killing right now. And I was like, no, not even close. It cost me $3,500 to get here in flights, and the amount of money that I'm going to spend throughout this week will probably reach up to like this whole trip will reach up to like 10 grand at least. So the travel expenses of coming over here, flying bringing the two camera guys in, doing everything, going out to work dinners, all that kind of stuff. And most people wouldn't look at it as like a business investment because they don't understand the conversations. But some of the things that happened in the nights, the dinner tables after High Rocks are going to make more money than any amount of money that I'll make. Like it will earn me an infinite amount more money than I would in crash prizes this year.
Yeah.
Because you're just going out and you're making sure you're at the right place at the right time. Like, it blows my mind that not one other pro showed up to London. Like, you guys have to have the IQ of a fucking goldfish. You literally, this is the biggest Hyrox event in history. So the amount of clients, if you run a coaching business, is astronomical. All of the biggest sponsors that are associated with the business are all here walking around, getting to meet the athletes and see the engagement points. And Ronkovich is probably at a ping pong festival in, you know, in Austria. And Winnish is at his mom's house. And Sandbach is in Dubai getting a tan. Like, it,
yeah,
I see all these people and I'm like, everyone's like, why aren't you coming to Chicago? It's because I'm not a fucking idiot. Like, you literally go to Chicago and there's maybe there's 10% of the amount of people that are going to show up to the Chicago event that did this London event.
With that being said, it just blows my mind that with all that shit that, you know, most sponsors, biggest event ever, they didn't have an official videographer there. I want to give a shout out to Ian from Fitness Racing Podcast. Like, he was there. He was testing out the service, you know, 40 minutes beforehand. And then he was there on site filming all you guys. Like, he was the live stream that everyone was turning into because they had shit going on. And there was no one official from Hyrox, brand company.
I think Hunter and Ryan, like from that, I'm not sure if you were asking me the question on why I wasn't there, but I'm going to answer that, Hunter, by the way. I'll be honest with you. Georgie and I were going to come and we were going to do a mixed doubles together. However, you know what, mate? My priority after Chicago was to get as prepared as I can be for Stockholm. And it was just more so a priority to just kind of have a weekend away from Hyrox. I just needed a break. So Georgie and I went to Berlin for the weekend. We had a fantastic romantic weekend together. And you know what? And I feel fantastic right now in my lead up to Stockholm.
I think you completely deserve that. Yes. Sorry, you finish what you're saying. I don't want to interrupt.
No. That's it.
I think you completely deserve that, but I'm going to do some math for you right now.
Yeah.
If you don't qualify in Stockholm, the amount of money that you're going to have to spend to get to these other places for potential qualifyings, you're going to have to go to the United States twice. If you don't make it in Vienna, you got to go over in DC. If you don't make it in DC, you have to go to last chance qualifier in Anaheim now. The amount of money that you're going to have to spend to continue to keep this thing up is only going to get higher. And for people who are on the cusp, like, you either have two options. You either put the screws to it and qualify and just sit back and hide for the rest of the year, or you're going to have to become a journeyman where you're going to literally spend what you did last season. You literally flew around more than anybody else I knew, and you made it by the fucking, you didn't make it by the skin of your teeth. You missed it in Hong Kong. And then all of a sudden you made it by the skin of your teeth because of an accident. And how much do you think you spent and just hours in the air to pull that off?
Yeah. No, and like, you're right. You're totally right. I feel like my decision not to go to London, though, was like perfect. I mean,
I think you deserve it. And
yeah. But also, you know, like, just going on kind of what you did on Instagram this morning, like, you have a Hyrox hangover. Man,
oh, completely.
Like, I'm so glad I wasn't at one of those events this weekend because I'd feel it, and it's more so like my mentality more than anything. I'd be mentally drained waking up on a Monday before a race. And like, I just didn't want that, you know? But Hunter, you're right, man. Like, if I don't qualify this weekend, I've got to fucking get back to the drawing board because my season is a lot tougher if I don't this weekend. So yeah.
I will admit the position that I'm in right now, I'll be honest with everybody. I'm not going to diminish anything. This is not excuses. This is not ideal. I would not suggest this to almost anybody, but in the sense of recognizing, even if I didn't do well in Stockholm and I did well this weekend in London because of the work that we have put together, it was worth it.
It's a success. Yeah.
It is a success. And that's the thing you need to weigh out for yourself, at least in this position. I'm not a football player or a hockey player, baseball player with big contracts, things like that. So,
but always so kind of juggling. Question, it. Right? How does the weekend and the race on the weekend with George, how does that negatively impact your your lead up for Stockholm, or does it at all?
So I was doing about 20 to 22 hours of volume a week leading up until I did that last test. I don't know if you watched that YouTube video where we did the all in. Like I test that day, and then I did a 4-hour bike ride the next day. Like that was a 22 hour week. And, you know, it's good to come off the ledge, but I was planning on doing 22 hour weeks for like basically 10, 12 weeks straight with like a couple dip downs. I lost it this last week. I maybe got 12. So I'm 10 hours off from my plan. And this next week, now that I'm here, like it's pissing rain outside and everything like that, I'll maybe get like a 6 to 8 hour weekend this week. And yeah, the following week, because it will take me time to get back off, I will now have another 12 hour week. So that's 3 weeks with 50% volume of projections. But what ends up happening now is if I decide to skip Vienna, I will now keep my block going. I'll go really hard in January, really hard in February, really hard in March. And that will be my block instead. So I just basically said to myself, I was like, okay, I'm looking at this. I'm going to get my business done early. And I have all these, like, you know, when you end up signing contracts, I'll just let people know you have what's are called deliverables. I have 10 appearances that I need to make for Puma. And I do my job better than anybody else. I show up my camera team. I represent the brands. I work my ass off. We were filming content and building up really long time for the episode of with Represent, building up to this thing. We kicked ass, made some really good content. We do a merch drop and that kicks ass, sells out. Like I did my business, and now what I'm doing is I had 3 down weeks so that I can have 3 up weeks later on. And yeah, I just weighed my options and I said, screw it. This is how I want to do it.
But do you think the race, and the question is not necessarily the race and what you actually had to do with George, the doubles, because at the end of the day, I personally think you would have done probably a harder session if you're back home for the lead up to Stockholm, right? But due to the fact that you were at a Hyrox event on the weekend and you did the doubles and you were Hunter the businessman as well, which can fatigue you, do you think it's obviously, as look, the question is like, well, you already answered it, it's not ideal, right? But you're still going to Stockholm obviously to win.
It's the devil you decide to dance with. It's like you're gonna have to pay up for it later at some point. Like I'm gonna have to pay for it in Stockholm because I'm not feeling maybe as ideal as I want to. Or I'm going to have to pay for it later on in the season because all of a sudden I was like, shit, man, I should have made those connections earlier on so that I could have hit my goals earlier on in business. So which one do you want to face first? Like, I don't mind showing up to Stockholm in a non-ideal position. Like, this is a very early race for me to begin with. Usually I don't start racing until March. Like I raced March 18th last year. I'll race December 2nd this year. So it's early and I don't really care. So it's like, it's whatever. My session with George of doing that thing, like, dude, we technically were only 4 minutes behind what we did with you guys when we raced doubles. But at the same time, like, I don't know if you guys saw our stations, like every time I touched something, I was rowing and skiing like 119s, 119s to 123s the whole time.
Dude, you caught, you were 2 laps down on the sled pole. And within the time that they were going on lap 3, you caught up 2 laps to their ones on the sled pole.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were catching them. And Ian, like, Ryan, like, give Ian more credit. He was really good commentating the actual race.
Knew what was going on.
It was awesome because he'd be there and see you guys catching up on the stations more than the runs. So
it was a good workout.
Yeah. Was George excited and kind of was he absolutely gassed afterwards?
Yeah, but I mean, dude, that's like tying a string to a rocket ship. Like that's a bad idea, but it was fun.
Like, you know, to a rocket ship.
But he fought like a dog, dude. I think he had like a 3 to 5 minute PR. And
so
it doesn't matter if like you're doing a little bit less work in the stations, you're still having to drag ass at that running pace and your heart rate. There's no mercy.
Yeah.
Like I was never giving him a break. And the guy trained very hard for it. Like he's not the kind of person who's just like, hey, let's have fun this weekend. Like he put himself in the position to execute and he worked like a dog. So
yeah.
I give big props to the guy for showing the fuck up. Most people would not have the guts to do that. Because you also like there's times where you look over and you're just like, man, I gotta keep my shit together right now because you know this is my community. I gotta live up to my name and the brand that I'm building. And that I'm talking about on his behalf, represent literally it owns like 30-50% of all the chess space of all the dudes in that building.
Yeah.
So you gotta toe the line.
It's crazy. Hey, it's absolutely crazy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me, I want to know about your experience though.
Well, 1 second. So to your point that you were saying, if JK doesn't qualify at this next one in Stockholm, then the amount of money that he's going to spend. I don't know if you saw it, but Hybrid Fitness Media made a post about Bella turning down all the majors for that exact point. And she went on to just kind of give some comments like she earned second at the majors. But she told us, I first signed up for Hyrox to add purpose, to give back a little bit joy of what I was missing. But unfortunately, I find the new qualification system convoluted and biased towards legacy. Though I am a legacy myself, I think that the new season should start fresh and allow equal opportunity for those wanting to enter the sport as I did last year. I don't want to have to chase down a qualifying competition. And I know newcomers to the community aren't going to, you know, be able to put, even if they wanted to, be able to put out the money to chase down those majors.
Yeah, and that comment or Bella actually not doing the majors right is an interesting thing because I'll give you my example, though, which is different. I think it's different because I don't think Bella is a coach or an online coach. But I'll give you an example. Like last year, I took a big risk, massive risk. I gave up my day job in Australia to pretty much go full on into this Hyrox before even doing a race and ultimately winning my first race to then be here now a year later. And last year, every time I booked a flight to go race, it was a business opportunity and a business risk. So every time I did, mate, like I'd be like umming and ahhing whether I should, number one, bloody spending 1 hours and hours upon end, like, flying from Australia to Europe, but then also spending the money. But at the end of the day, I'm not obviously saying that I'm like...
you're doing what you want to.
Yeah. And also, like, to answer the... To going back to the question, well, if I bloody have to go to Vienna and then go to DC and then, you know what, mate? If I have to go to Anaheim for that last chance qualifier, I will. Yeah. Because I don't necessarily just see it as, like, me... just making the Elite 15, of course, and also in our last podcast together, that is my goal this year, to actually make it, because last year I didn't. I 100% didn't. It was only because of Tim Varnish that I was able to race. My goal is to make the Elite 15 this year, and my goal is to do that this weekend. If I don't, I get back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Listen, you had the girls that – look at the divergence here. Megan Jacoby took second at Worlds last year and held the world record, and she quit her job to get more invested. Belle took third, and she's quitting the sport because she doesn't want to invest in it. Those guys are very close to each other. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't really that big of a difference. It's a different conversation if you're, like, number 15. You're not even in contention for the conversation.
Yeah.
This girl was in – Belle was, like, in contention for winning. Like, you know, that was – she was on the podium. That's like, you know, as good as it gets in the sport. And yeah, for some people it may not be worthwhile. I quit a year ago.
Yeah.
Because I was done. At this point last year, I was not even coming. I was in a boat.
You were in San Diego on the boat. Yeah.
I was in a boat paddling all the time thinking I was going to go to the Olympics.
And when did you decide to come back? What day?
I think it was January 19th. I found out that I could not qualify.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And I just like sat down with myself and I was like shaking. I was like, am I a fucking idiot? Like, did I just spend all of this money, move down to San Diego, buy a boat, quit my sport, and tell all these people I was going to go for this goal, and I was totally wrong about it? And I was like, well, it's not going to do a lot to complain about it. I might as well get back to work.
Can I ask you, like, because I'm more curious, right? How long between you knowing that you couldn't qualify for the Olympics to then going, fuck it, I'm going to get back on the High Rocks bandwagon? How long did that take you to go, oh, like, poor me, let's just say, like, this is shit, to then going back, nah, let's bounce back here and be the world champion again?
2 days.
Yeah. It wasn't long.
A lot happened in those 2 days.
It's explosive as all hell, dude, because I had to call these people who were like my, just like advisors, people that had been big parts of my life. And I basically like gone through like three major like breakups in my life. Like, I was dating a girl, broke up with her. It was another aspect of life and business. I broke up with that. And then all of a sudden I had to, you know, now break up with this new goal. And, you know, I'm the kind of person where I put stickers everywhere I go with my goals written down. Every night before I go to bed, I say my top five biggest goals, and I usually fall asleep like 4 minutes for the fourth one in. But I'm obsessed. I'm absolutely obsessed, the level that nobody else I've ever seen. And you have to just divorce that now.
Yeah.
And now I have a boat that just sits on hooks and like a rack that's got dust on it. Like, you forget it. You let go. You're like, I know this version of myself has to die for the new version of myself to live. And it was 2 days. And then I probably started training with like, we could probably go back in my phone and look at the post where I said that I was back competing again, but it was
running up the mountain.
Yeah, it was probably,
I was about to say, Ron, he was running up the mountain.
Yeah, and it was pretty quick. Pretty quick. I think I had 6 weeks to train to get ready for whatever it was. For Barcelona.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me, what was it like in Chicago? Because there was very clearly, there was a front pack, and there was a middle pack, and there was a back pack. You ended up getting caught in the middle pack, and yeah. It seems like, was there, I honestly, we couldn't tell very much, but was there a lot of exchanges and jockeying around for position? Like, who were you battling against? What were your goals? Like, did you know that these guys were far ahead of you?
I knew that, and like, to sum it up, man, it was Kent, Ryland, and Alex that kind of set the tone very early, and that was the front pack, right? And then there was Paleo, Rich Ryan, Tim Varnish, David Megida, Dylan Scott, and I was eighth, ninth most of the race, but ultimately I did what I do best, and I finished strong. And finish stronger than them.
Spicy.
Yeah. And mate, it was good. Like, it's interesting though. Like, I personally think the weekend will be a lot more. I think it'll be a lot more closer than Chicago, because I personally think the boys that didn't do well, that flew over from Europe to Chicago that didn't do well, will actually be coming back with a vengeance and be really ready to rumble. And look, to be honest, it's only yourself and Paleo that are coming abroad. From America, sorry. I'm pretty sure. I don't think there's any other Americans.
Paleo is coming again? Oh, I guess
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone else is European based, I'm pretty sure. But mate, yeah, I think it's going to be a very hot race from third to 10. Yeah.
Did Anas qualify? This guy, Noel Radigan, said, I heard Anas is, but I don't know if he qualified or is able to.
Pretty sure he did, mate, because of the roll downs. but depends if he's doing Decker or not. Obviously, most of your boys are doing the Decker.
Decker shit.
Decker.
There's one thing that Noel said, and I think it might play into a part of where Alex and I go, but Alex and I were supposed to do High Rocks. He was really pushing to do Pro, but Noel said that it's only men's opens and then elites for DC. So there's that. I still want to do that for DC.
Well, why don't you do... Well, there's no Pro in DC, is there?
Yeah, it's only men's open.
I'm going to get Alex to race LA so he can just get a little taste.
He needs to. And see, he's like, what's the difference? It's not by much for the weights on the sled. It's like, okay.
So what's your strategy, dude, so you can get your nuts into the game on this one? Like, what are you going to do? Because let's just say...
I'm gonna do a compromise running cycle.
There you go.
I was sub five. I was going 450s. Me and my doubles partner. I need to get it down to 426.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. It's all about intensity, dude. If you have a couple good intense sessions a week, you can get there. So for James, you've got now all of a sudden you've got the top two guys not coming. Is Ronkovich coming?
Yes.
Because you got him, Paleo, now. You don't have Rich Ryan there. Is Rich coming?
Nope.
Okay, let's think about... Okay, so Kent was first, not coming. Ryan was second, not coming.
Alex
is coming. Now you've got... Who took fourth?
Paleo.
Paleo is coming.
He's coming, yeah. Rich Ryan not coming, and then myself.
Megita's not coming?
I'm not sure. I'm Megita's sure you would know. Heck,
I know. I don't have the information, to be honest. So you are almost guaranteed to get in.
Well, I was the next. Well, I'm the next in line, right? But as I said, mate, the boys behind me, like, think about it. Tim Vinish, who is the... I personally think is, apart from yourself, like, is the fastest high rocks athlete out there, or could be. Sorry, could be. Yep. Then we've got David Megita, Dylan Scott, who aren't coming. Right from there, you've still got John Wynn, you've still got Graham Halliday, you've still got Bo Wilts. Like,
no, I get all these things. I'm just saying, based off the placements, like, if you just took all the people out of there, you move up to almost a guaranteed spot.
Yeah.
That's pretty great. Like, you got to feel good coming into this.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Yeah. I can't be more, as I said at the start, excited and ready to rumble with you, Hunter. But, like, yeah. So I told you the other day, I'm leaving tomorrow. So I'm leaving tomorrow and land in Stockholm tomorrow afternoon.
Dude, it's a Swedish fitness expo. I am so excited.
I bet you are.
It's gonna be a bunch of Viking people and us.
Yeah, and Georgie's coming on Friday to make sure
you behave.
Yeah.
Smart girl.
Is your mum coming?
Yeah, dude. She's my plus one. She's my babe for the weekend.
Yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Mom's gonna have a great time. We'll probably go out big time on Saturday.
Yeah. What about, is Lauren Weeks coming over?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really pay attention to what everybody else is doing. Not that I'm not interested. It's just like, if I'm going to talk to you, I'll just call you.
Yeah.
Like, Kent and I connected after the race.
Hey, I do have a question. What time do you guys go off, start for Stockholm for elites?
I think men are 10:30, correct?
Yeah, it's like a 10:15 Stockholm time.
That's so good, dude, because that means it's beers, man, the rest of the day.
Oh, mate, so good.
Ooh,
so good.
That means if we go live, that'll be a 4 a.m. start for Central.
I bet you that this is going to be a faster race than Chicago.
Yeah.
People are going to kill themselves.
So, but how can you say that when two boys in Chicago did 55s? And then
I'm talking about, first of all, overall times.
Right. Okay.
Overall times, I bet you will drop significantly.
Okay.
And I just imagine that everyone who did bad before is going to pay, you know, pay for it this weekend, basically meaning they're just going to be like, I hated that score.
Yeah.
I want to qualify now. I've got something to prove. So you're going to watch the first half of the race just be crazy. Yeah. It's just going to be like mayhem. I bet you people are going to be on the sleds doing straight acrosses. Beam, 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 beam. Yeah. Just fucking nonsense. And ski ergs all under 140 and sled pulls going like crazy. And then you're going to watch just dead bodies on the floor at burpees. And you'll probably see the terse two guys get to the ski erg, sorry, the rower. And then there'll be like a 2 minute gap by that point. Like I will probably get off the skier. Like I'll be like 800 meters in when like a lot of guys come in. Just because I know I can already tell the psychology of what's going on. They're probably going to listen to this and they're going to hear this and they're still going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to listen to this. And just because Hunter is saying this, they're going to be scared.
No. I listen, I've just done it so many times. Like you can pick what's going to happen well ahead of time of the race. And if you know the people you race against, you can tell what they're going to do before they even know it themselves.
I think, and I'm being honest here, I think you'll only be 222 meters in front of me when I get to the rower.
Well, that would mean...
It's about a minute or what? No, 50 not. Seconds.
Yeah. Hard to tell.
It is hard to tell.
It'd be impressive.
Yeah.
It'd be very impressive for you. did our test this weekend and we did it at 5:20 the whole time. That's the fastest I've ever done a high rocks test.
Sorry, 5:20 per mile, right? Yeah,
that's a 320K.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I was going to comment on your video the other day you did with your coach. Like, so you were 320s on the – so you did 320s on the weekend.
That was like in the video.
Sorry, yeah. No. In the video, it was 313, wasn't it? Or
it's 320s. We did some wrong math, but it's, you know, 7 seconds lap. It's not the biggest difference.
Right. Yeah, so 320s. When you – your world record right now, what's the average for that? Is it 325s or something? Or
no, it's 330s.
Okay.
It's a significant speed up, but I did go slower on – the row and the burpees. All other stations were pretty much in match.
Purpose? You did that on purpose?
I mean, it was just impossible to hold. I was dying.
Yeah.
I was really, really dying. Yeah. It sucked a big time. 7 times 8 is 56. So that came out to – it was 52:18 technically. 52:15 was my score. So we were 7 seconds off. So 52:15. So it's – 52:11, and then you put on, because we always add 2 minutes to the rock zone based off of the extra that I do in transitions there at my house.
So it
would have been, at least in my math, it would have been like a 54:11. Is that correct? Yeah, 54:11. That's hot.
Yeah.
I started out. What's that?
How many seconds do you think? Like, I'm just going to give, let's just say, the burpees on the grid, right? Which is normally 4 20-meter lengths. How many seconds do you think you lose doing 4 20-meter lengths instead of, like, 2?
You're losing, like, 2 seconds a turn.
Yeah, so it's actually not that much.
Yeah, 2 seconds a turn, so if you think about it, so 1, 2, 3.
So it's 8.
Yeah, so you're getting 8, and
yeah.
You pick up anywhere between like 30 plus seconds
overall. You know?
Yeah, I think so. It's and eventually, like if you do the farmer carries, how many times do you turn around? Like 10.
Yeah.
See, it's potentially, because if you think about it, like I think I ran under 60 seconds with the farmer carry here in London, and you know, there's not as many turns. There's actually a fair amount of turns this one. There was a shittier one. Like the fastest ones I've ever had are just like crazy out and backs. But even those, you just like, you're just turning so much, you decelerate. You can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, grid racing is going to be the future of the sport. So you might as well get used to it. That's why I have a piece of turf that is only the length, like around the length of the grid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, if you're going to race this weekend, is there anybody that you're specifically gunning against, or are you just only going against your strategy?
I'm racing, man, and what that means is like I'm trying to get my ticket for the world champs, right? So of course,
do you know your paces in every station and every run? Like, do you have that science nailed down, or is it more by feel for you at this point?
No, of course I do, man. Like, of course I do, and it also always depends on. No, sorry, it doesn't always depend on, but I want to be in the top three, like. And you know, like that kind of like Chicago, right? I ran my own race more so because I wanted to make sure that I like felt out the first couple of stations, right? To see where everyone else was. This time around, it's a bit of a different game tactic for me. I'm gonna go in a bit more confidently and know what I want to hit and know what I can hit. But man, at the end of the day, like these boys can rock up. The boys that didn't do well in Chicago, they might rock up and be fiery and ready to rumble. And that's great if they are.
I'm embarrassed to say I don't know this. Because Ronkovic already qualified, does that mean his spot doesn't matter? So if he even won, it's the next three spots to qualify?
So let's just give this as an example, right? If you win, you get the world champs spot.
Yeah.
If Ronkovic comes second, he's already qualified. So no matter who it is, whoever comes fourth in Stockholm gets his spot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So if...
Well, hold on. Okay, so I got a qualifying spot. So yeah, third and fourth get to go also.
Third and fourth get to go. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
So fourth place, baby.
Fourth, yeah.
Minimum. You got to get it, baby.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
What do you make it for fourth place?
Like, I think it's three grand.
A beer token?
Yeah. I think it's a few beers with your mom on Saturday night.
Hey, man. She's a great time. She's great.
No, we're actually super excited to meet her, mate.
I'm excited. Literally, after I get off the phone with you guys, I got to go through the shitty rain to go meet my mom and take her out to lunch somewhere.
Lovely. Lovely.
Boys, I got to get out of here in a second. I want to go through some of these questions rapid fire. Rapid fire, baby. I also have to piss so bad.
So do I.
Like a freaking maniac, dude. Are we going to do a pee break right now?
Sure.
Wait. Let's do a race.
Okay, done.
Ready?
Three. Wait. Two. One. Go.
And go. If you're just joining us now, they are in a pee break race.
Yes!
We only lost four viewers.
There's no way that James Kelly is going to be able to beat me. What a pussy.
Jared is up at the 4:10 a.m. hour. He started in California his morning workout.
Smoked, dude. Let's go through some of these questions real quick. Dude, I've been sitting down for a half an hour.
I had to go, hey.
Yeah.
Kept going.
Neil Flavin asked why I did not show up in the medal ceremony. I didn't even know it was happening. We would have showed up there. It would have been great pictures. Drinking beers at 7 a.m. or 9 a.m. Ivan, we do drink beers at 9 a.m. Goes to show that the sport has a real vision problem if the podium athletes are quitting. I wouldn't say that's true, Trevor Oddman, because Andrew Luck, one of the top paid quarterbacks, just dropped out, left his contract early because he just didn't want to do it anymore. People can quit whenever the heck they want. Noel Radigan, another crazy person. No, anybody who washes, like, you know, their hands after peeing? Creep. Serial killer, most likely. You know, it's just so gross. I get so gross after going to High Rocks. Everyone wants to like shake my hand and give me high fives. I'm like, there's hundreds of people that have been touching their Johnson and I've been shaking it. And every dude loves to get a hold of my hands and try to just blow my knuckles out and squeeze my hand as hard as I can. I'm like, yo, chill out, man. Like, I get it. You're some fucking revved up High Rocks junkie that wants to break my hand. Insane. All right, let's go through these questions. A lot of people had questions. Some of them are useless, but other ones, you know, could have a good time. Could have a really good time. Pop it out. Pop it out. Okay, see all. Holy shiznizzle, there's a lot. What do you feel with the night before your race? Aaron, C Hill OCR.
Me?
That's for you, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of rice. A lot of sodium. I don't know what else to say. Like, pretty basic shit.
Okay. What's the most overhyped common High Rocks advice hack that you hear?
Compromise running.
Yeah. No. I'd say compromise running is a stack of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I also just think that literally you have no idea how many people I know that are High Rocks coaches now. What makes you an elite level coach for High Rocksing? Because you did too. It's just like people who get a certification from CrossFit. And then they're like, yeah, I'm a gym owner now. I'm like, dude, you never ran a business before. Like, you got a personal training certification. Like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Well, you and JK be in Vienna. It's my first open singles. Looking forward to it. From Ryan Bell. I think this dude's trying to make moves on you.
Well, yeah. Make moves on both of us, mate.
Are you going to Vienna?
Maybe. If I podium this weekend, probably not, but maybe.
I like this. What's your current wake-up routine and your sleep training? Do you have anything special in there?
No, I wake up and make my lovely Georgie a little cup of tea
Posse coffee.
Do you guys sleep in the same bed or do you guys have like bunk beds, trundle beds? Do you guys sleep in different rooms? I just assume Australian people are just weird.
Nah, we like our cuddles, mate.
That's cool. Someone's asking me when I want to get rid of my mustache. I'm getting rid of it today.
Yeah.
What was your first competitive sport? You were a pretty good runner, but what were you doing before this?
I played cricket. Like
from Tunelius.
Cricket was my sport when I was a kid.
That's not a sport.
Yeah, it is, man. Come down under, mate. We'll teach you a thing or two.
Wow. This is a spicy one. This is a spicy one. Not going to ask that one. How many sessions you crack in a week? I think that means how many are you doing?
How many sessions? Like
gym sessions.
Yeah, or like sessions and running sessions, like total, probably 15 to 16.
Holy shit. It's a lot. Wow, there's so many questions, dude. What in the Lord is going on? Do you try any of the local cuisine in England? Is there anything you were trying to test out in Stockholm that you're very excited about culturally?
Mate, to be honest, no. I haven't even thought about that. I don't even know the cuisine that they offer. Do you? Like, are you excited for anything?
I want to drink beer. I want to meet Viking women. I want to go to the big boat that they have, museum that they have. I want to show my mom a good time. There's nothing there that I think they're known for fish, I think, and I'm not really into fish. So
Right. Screw
that. Let's see here. What is your biggest goal of 2024 from flips and runs?
To make the Elite 15.
How do you get better at burpees as my heart rate goes through the roof? Well, tattooed triathlete, I think maybe you should get in better shape. But do you have any tips about that for people that suck at burpees?
Just do more. Just do as many as you can. Yeah. Not really. It's just repetition.
Used to it.
Yeah. Just repetition. Yeah.
What's your resting heart rate from JH Henny Rip?
45, 44.
Really? That's awful.
Yeah.
That's high.
What's yours?
Dude, mine's between 29 and
33. No, it's not. Are you serious?
Yeah, man. I track my heart rate variability.
Wow.
I mean, that awful is the wrong word. Your resting heart rate's not awful.
So you've seen it. You've woken up and seen it in the 20s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we used to do, especially when I was doing stuff like Spartan race, I could get down there often.
Wow.
Yeah. That was much smaller back then. But now 33, 32 is not hard to see.
Mm.
How do you train strength and fast running? Are you doing them together or are you doing them separately?
Separately. There's a difference between a speed session, fast running, than even threshold, than running for Hyrox. You know, there's speed and then there's Hyrox threshold running.
Did you ever do CrossFit?
Nah, man.
CrossFitter?
Nah. I've done heaps of those. I've trained the methods and whatnot, but nah. Never done it properly.
People want to know.
Did you win your 5K race for the turkey trot?
Me?
Yeah.
I did a 10 miler that day. Nobody in the family wanted to get together and do it. Let's see here. Is there any A-list celebrities you think would be great at Hyrox? Or any ones that you'd want to compete with? From Adrian Cervantes, 29.
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. Hey, there's a bunch.
You want to hook up with Thor, don't you?
Oh, man, I can't wait. I'm
Do you think there's drugs in the sport?
Do I think there's drugs?
Yeah.
Not in the Elite 15, but definitely in the Open.
Dude, you should see the size of the guys that are in London Hyrox. They are so yoked, like 8-packs. I'm just like, what?
Oh, man, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mind-blowing.
But no, like, to answer that question, like, properly, no. I personally don't think in the Elite 15.
Interesting. The rest of the questions are pretty useless. So, you'll be there tomorrow, just living your best life.
Yeah.
Alex is up at 4 a.m. What do you think creepy Alex is doing right now? Because what time is it in the California?
5:10 a.m.
You know Alex never went to sleep.
You think he pulled the all-nighter editing?
Of course he is, dude. Alex is a serial killer. That man's lifestyle confuses me at a level that I can't understand. I think he just randomly sleeps in different places in his van. And he's just rollerblading at all hours of the night and editing in like random parking lots. It's a lifestyle. So we'll see you this weekend.
Yeah, man.
Fourth place plus.
That's the goal.
From there, are you coming to training camp? Like, we're supposed to be putting in a big block January and February. Like, if everything works out well, it's like Tour de France. Like, everyone's locked into one location. We go ham.
Mate, you've told me this. Like, you've sent me a message saying you coming training camp. I'm like, tell me more specifically.
I've already given you this information.
Man, come on. Like,
it's interesting. I put this offer up all the time, and nobody takes me up on it. And everybody just like sits at home and just continues to train by themselves and get dog shit results.
Mate, I'll come when I'll commit when I have a world championship spot. So after Saturday, I'll shake your hand.
At this point, it would be harassing you to try to get you to come. But out of curiosity, what makes you think that going to a training camp would not help you qualify? So like, if you don't make it this weekend, if I were you, I would move to California and train your ass off until March. and yeah, try to have a stable that would just be me. And I'm not trying, like, I know you got a girlfriend and all this like lifestyle over there in Germany, but
yeah,
you got to figure, like, there's a reason why when Lance Armstrong started his cycling career, he was like here in the States and working. And the next thing you know, when you want to go to the big levels, they all move to Europe and they go into these training camps and they're just like busting their asses training, you know, in specific places, in groups, trying to push the next level. And that's just like sport. Like, you know, you have to get into the rooms with the biggest dogs and get, you know, tougher teeth, I guess.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And you know, if all goes well, we will be doing a training camp Jan, Feb, you know.
Did you might have to break up with your girlfriend, become asexual, and just become a high rocks freak?
Maybe this weekend. Who knows? Who knows?
I'll talk to her about it. I'll be like, listen, you gotta let your guy go. You gotta let him go.
She'll put you in her in your place, mate.
Yeah, sounds good,
just,
dude.
Hey, just don't trip her over again.
Dude, these thunder thighs can't help it. All right, guys, I had a really good time. Just want to remind everybody, it's the last day of our sale for the Black Friday Cyber Monday weekend. It's 30% off the site. If you guys need anything, it's on builderinternational.com and Builder Sports. The pre-workout just got released in the United States. It's the first time it's ever been there. I'm letting everybody know, because of the way it's a pre-order, it will get shipped out December 13th, so don't freak out. It's coming. But we want to give you guys the sales attached to the Black Friday. So thank you guys for tuning in. I will see all of you guys in stock on, hopefully. JK, train hard, buddy.
Hey, mate. Thanks.
See you, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you all.
See you, boys.
Bye.